Welcome to another amazing episode of the Path to Podcast Success with your host, audience building and fear-crushing podcast expert, Evan Bradley Johnson. Every single week, Evan has powerful conversations with successful entrepreneurs and business owners, revealing the podcast strategies they use to grow their subscribers and sales, and how you can use your podcast to finally get to that next level. Now, turn on your mic and let's start down the path to podcast success.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Podcast Success. I've got a guest here that, if our little pre-show chat is any indication, is going to be an absolutely incredible addition to the show. Keith Griffiths. Keith, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
So I start off in the same place with all my guests, and that is by making sure that the audience, anyone listening, who may not know who you are, I want to make sure they're on the same page. So go ahead and tell us, who are you and what do you do?
All right. The great question. Right. So, I've been a lot of things to a lot of people for a lot of years, in the online space, former podcaster, but I'd say now my mission is I teach spiritual coaches how to tell better stories, and transform and attract their tribe in order to start a movement. And, while that may sound a little cryptic, it's really just, I teach people how to communicate through story in order to just really grow their business and do it in an authentic way, so they don't have to waste time pushing themselves. And in fact, they create a conversation within whatever platform that they're on. And even it transcends platforms. So stage, email, workshops. Oh. I still am one foot in corporate. So I won't bring up my company, but I'll say it's not affiliated with my corporate role. But in that corporate role, I've learned a lot over the last 12 years leading a $200 million business there. So I take the lessons from that, from my own entrepreneurship, from my clients, and just honestly my own raw and deep self-reflection that I publicly put out there on my Facebook page and other mediums as tools and fuel to transform people's businesses and help them do work that matters.
Right. Now, with any question to ask, you're always welcome to say, I was too personal, I don't want to answer it. So keep that in mind. Because I wanted to ask, are you wanting to transition out of corporate, or do you want to keep that foot in the corporate world?
Yeah, I would say I'm not really in a place to even decide that at this point. I love what I do. I'm not jumping at the bit to get out of what I have. And I have a really, really great team. And to be honest, I would say it's the impact that I make there, because the work is really meaningful, it would be hard to let go of. So I'm a little conflicted right now, but I think the pull is strong with client work, but I enjoy what I'm doing on both fronts.
Right. And I find it so interesting, what you're doing. I mean, using stories like that, I think it's very interesting. How long have you been, when did you kind of take that leap into entrepreneurship, while you're in corporate?
Yeah, so I've always maintained some foot in the entrepreneurial world. So, I mean, since the days when I was a musician, I was always the business mind and the marketer of the business side of the bands that I was in. I worked for a record label throughout college. I toured the US and Canada and did all the marketing promotion. So I've always had this deep desire for art as a reflection of business and vice versa. So using them to fuel each other. So, taking the art to build a business, building a business to fuel the art, and that creativity and drive, I've just always carried through. So I had two or three different businesses over the course of my 40 years on this planet. Some successful, others, I would say I'd like to say ahead of the time, but it was probably some immaturity in business. I had the, you know, the foresight to foresee Udemy and Kajabi and all those types of platforms being possible before they actually came to existence. And I created a platform to do that. And we ended up closing the doors because we made some pretty poor business decisions. And that kicked me over into, I'd say, a pretty sad state for a while. And then I reemerged and, you know, went to the coaching side of the business, which I really, really loved. Lots of people listening in the podcast space would know my name from that. And and then I suffered a pretty deep blow when I lost my dad 4 or 5 years ago, and I pulled back entirely. And only the last year have I come back. So this is
right.
I'd say my fourth or fifth time actually running a business with revenue, growth, and clients.
That is, I think a lot of people can relate to that, because it's like when you're trying to build something meaningful, it feels like you just keep getting hit, you know, over and over again with these different things that keep happening. I mean, it's been the same with me. Different things, of course, but like, it's like you start trying to build something and then it's like, you know, you get hit by that wave and the waves tend to keep coming. And so I guess, yeah, it's like, I guess you just gotta learn how to like surf the waves, roll with the punches, but it's very, very difficult.
Yeah, there's a lesson in each one of them. I think everybody wants to take the lesson of sort of the idea of, you know, get back up. And while I 100% think that's me, and I agree and I resonate, I think the biggest thing for me is each one of these experiences has taught me a different lesson. And the biggest lesson I would say that's different in this go around for me, that's made the difference of who I attract and how I serve them, is I stopped focusing outwardly. And I stopped believing that something outside of me was going to somehow validate me. And by doing that validation, it was going to somehow make the imposter syndrome, as they call it. I think John Lee Dumas introduced me to that back in 2014 when we were at Podcast Movement together. Like, that whole concept plagued me for a lot of years. This idea of you're building something that doesn't exist, but you want to prove that you're worthy of it. So you look for ways to prove that. And you realize that most of the time people want you to demonstrate it. Don't tell me you can do it and try to back it up with a degree or some amazing, you know, testimonial or things like that. Just show me, demonstrate your expertise, give it to me and let me decide for myself. And there's lots of ways to do that. And that's where story became this empowering tool for me. And honestly, I'm pretty public and raw about the failures, the fears, the concerns. When I have a bad day, most people put on the smiling face and put the shiny picture up. If you've seen what I post, I put the messy hair, crazy story about what's going on inside me and how I dealt with it. And I turned it into a lesson. And I think that's powered me through some dark times here recently, especially.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think there's a lot of power in, you know, being honest and open instead of trying to hide behind a fake reality like what a lot of people do. I think that's, yeah, there's a good lesson to be learned there. So I'm kind of curious, why are you doing what you're doing now? Why this particular business?
Yeah, so interesting enough, I'll tell you a little story. So I have three wonderful kids, twin girls who are now 6 and a son who's is 8 and a half. And they, all three of them were diagnosed around the same time with epilepsy, actually technically close to the same week. And so we went through a lot of challenges with their health, and we still are constantly doing that. I had a extreme reaction to this, right? I lived in my home and I was afraid every time I walked around a corner to see one of my kids having a seizure. So much so that when I took a shower, I would make sure they were all in the same room. I would have the camera on them and I would have the phone in the shower to watch them. And literally I was watching a screen to make sure that nothing happened. And it was so subtle for them that they would be staring at the TV and they would be seizing and I wouldn't even notice. You couldn't distinguish between them watching a show, focusing on something, daydreaming versus starting a seizure. And the problem with that for me was it created a ton of anxiety. I mean, living in fear, I just lived in this place of fear. And throughout that process, Western medicine helped to a point with them, but it never goes away. It's not curable, the kind that they have. Hopefully one day with CRISPR and all these gene editing, and maybe it will be. But at the same time, I suffered from Lyme disease. I suffered from a lot of different illnesses. And nobody could solve these problems. Like, nobody could help me with the anxiety. Therapists weren't working. Nobody could help me with these. I had skin issues that I would wear 100 Band-Aids a week on my fingers. 100 Band-Aids a week. It was so painful because I had cracks and fissures on my hands and they couldn't figure out why. They just kept telling me, use cream. Use this cream. Use that cream. Use steroids. And the only people that started helping me through this was a holistic doctor. I went to this homeopathic doctor and he started me on this journey that opened my eyes to my gut health, to my nervous system. I started going to the chiropractor regularly. I started to work with these spiritual healers and I realized something really important was that they were doing incredible life-changing work. They changed me from having a ball so big in my chest of anxiety that it would cripple my day. Every day to living without worry and enjoying the moments that I have, understanding that pain was going to come when my kids had something, but loving every minute in between. And nobody was really serving these people well. You know, you take these spiritual healers, these homeopathic and holistic health coaches, they are typically some of the lowest paid people, but they do some of the most transformational work because we view what they do as woo woo in some places. That really triggers me, that term. And so I felt the responsibility to use my background in marketing of all this time to actually serve them and help them grow a business. And then the natural byproduct of it was as I went through these experiences, I storied them, right? I would create these stories and started writing just to get it out of me. And people resonated. Mm-hmm. And then it just sort of beautifully came together in this way that it fueled me, it helps them, it attracts them. I've always been good at building communities. And so, you know, I've taken the best parts of what my journey on this earth has led me to. And when I help one coach, one of these spiritual coaches, they're helping generations of people. They're not just helping one person. It's like a whole family, like my kids. They're, you know, sorry, I talk a lot about this because I get so passionate, but they, like with my anxiety, I was feeding that to my kids. Even though that I was trying to protect them, I was so nervous about protecting them, I was making them fearful, which was making them worse.
Right.
And so by releasing that, all of a sudden it was like, wait a minute, I can be happy. Is that okay? And that makes them better. Wait, this is crazy. So that's the catalyst and the mission behind what I do.
That is incredible. I understand that. I've had my own journey with medicine of different sorts. AA functional medicine clinic mm-hmm. really changed my life after going to physicians mm-hmm. they would always just prescribe medications that never really did anything.
Break fix.
Exactly.
It's like take this and get out of my office and then I'm gonna get
exactly
paid.
No, they're meant for, I feel like it's like they're meant for surgeries and procedures and kind of like intense kind of like snake venom type things where like they're the kind of doctors that help you like if you're like imminent, like about to die.
Yes,
you know, then you don't want a functional medicine doctor, you want a regular doctor, you know.
Yeah. That's key. I mean, I work with those that's what I do as well on on my corporate side. So it's interesting because I think I work with Western medicine, and I agree with you. I mean, everything is acute care. Everything is like death. You know, it's like really that's what you want. You don't want somebody who's, I mean, and there's others who believe differently. But I think for me, what it comes down to is that they get paid very well to cut you or to die, to, you know, I have a doctor visit that I went to and they got paid $800 to prescribe me the steroid cream. And I was like, what? $800 for me to walk into your office? And, you know, granted, luckily I had insurance, right? But, you know, if I didn't have insurance, I'd have to pay that $800 and my insurance paid half of it. But then you go to these functional medicine doctors and they're lucky if, you know, they're getting paid a small percentage of that to do what is realistically life-changing, long-term, holistic work that changes, you know, everything about you. And I just feel like that value is so backwards. It's so transactional. And I think that's what I'm on a mission to change.
Exactly. That is an incredible mission that I can very, very much get behind because, you know, of my own personal experiences, that is what I have seen, you know, that is an incredible mission to have. So as we begin to kind of wind on the podcast, I like to ask, so when you first got into business, you can decide if that means this business or the first business ever, what was your biggest fear? And did that fear end up coming true?
Well, I'll say I'll just sort of extrapolate and say my first fear was rejection. And it's still something to this day that I work through. It's not a one and done for me. I've been really addressing the root causes of that fear, you know, and the subtle trauma that's gone on, you know, from actually friendships as a child. Like I never really had good friends. I had friends. So I feared rejection in terms of selling my products. But the reason for that fear was actually kind of schoolyard politics, right? It was kids who pretended to be my friend to then pick on me. And I carried that with me for a long time. It actually wasn't until I worked with an NLP practitioner who was able to break this link that I had. I would actually have dreams about kids that were from when I was young who tormented me. And it would just like replay in my dreams, even though I was really, really good at repressing those feelings, they bubbled up to the surface. And they, you know, most people say that has nothing to do with business. Why would that affect you? Business isn't personal. BS. Business is as personal as it gets. It is literally a reflection of your values, what you choose to do, who you choose to serve, how you choose to serve them. It does not get more personal than that. And it feeds your family. So in the end, everything that's experienced that you've had when you were younger manifests itself in different ways. And so fear of rejection, probably the biggest one. And it's been present every single time. I'm working through it.
Right. I mean, we all have our own blocks to get past, you know, and that's very true. And fear of rejection, I mean, that's enough to make most people not even go into business at all. And then, you know, you've been able to do it. You've been able to go into business for yourself and create this business around this topic and this passion that you have. And you're changing the world with it. And that's, you know, most people would let the rejection and that fear stop them from even starting to do that. So I think that is incredible.
And the best part about it, though, is, you know, we said this pre-call, you know, you teach the lessons you need to learn. This is one of those things that as I've been stopped trying to pretend that it doesn't bother me, and I've started to share that it does, and here's how I'm dealing with it, and here's the lesson in that, it's actually attracted people to me who are resonating with that. And so now, rather than fearing rejection because I'm pushing and pushing, which is how I used to view business, like you have to push your product, I've completely refocused it to say, I'm going to just focus on the people that I want to serve. And this is a problem that these people have. So I'm just going to surface up my fear. I'm going to observe it. I'm going to take note. I'm going to deal with it. And then I'm going to share my experience, as I think Russell Brunson calls it, the reluctant, I'm going to butcher it. Sorry, Russell. The reluctant learner, reluctant hero, whatever. It's basically somebody who goes along and just, you know, Pat Flynn does this incredibly well, right? He just chronicles the journey, right? I'm not here to tell you I'm an expert. I'm here to share lessons every single day. If you come to my page or you join my email list, every single day you're going to learn a lesson, if you want to, be a story form that is going to chronicle the experiences that I have or have had that have been transformational, the clients that I've interacted with who are amazing. And as a byproduct, I don't have to fear the rejection, because only the people that resonate with that are the ones that get into my world now. So
yeah,
it's kind of the mental Jedi trick that I've employed.
That is an incredible story. Yeah. And I love, you know, it's really true. I mean, you know, we teach the thing we most need to learn. And I find that to be universally true, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Well, thank you so much, Keith, for being willing to come on the podcast. For someone who is interested in you and in what you do, where can they find out more about you?
Yeah, interestingly enough, I've taken, for an internet marketer, I've taken the approach of really just making Facebook my home base. So my personal Facebook profile, so just go to facebook.com/ Keith D. Griffiths, and you will find my daily musings. In those, you'll see calls to action to download things, DM me if you're interested in joining some workshops. And pretty much everything I build is a funnel on the back end of that. So I would say find me on Facebook and see if you like what I put out there. And if you do, then hold on for a pretty raw and honest ride every single day.
That is perfect. Well, thank you so much again, Keith.
Thank you, Evan.
Thank you for listening to this episode and for supporting the Path to Podcast Success Show. If you haven't already, please leave us a 5-star rating and a written review, letting us know what you think of the show so we can bring you the most value we can from these expert podcasters. Your support helps us reach more people looking to step up their podcast game so that they can continue to grow their brand and spread their message. So, again, thank you for listening to this episode of The Path to Podcast Success, and we'll see you in the next episode.